AM 730 AM studio is powered by Driven Collision. We make friends by accident.
The views and positions expressed in this program are those of the host and do not necessarily reflect the views and positions of the game 730 AM. Some may find the content of this program controversial or offensive.
Time to play the game.
Maybe right. Put on your big boy pants and buckle up. This isn't a safe space for weak takes or whining. You can say that this sports radio show is offensive-minded. Call the show at 517-300-4263. Text or call us through the game 730 AM app. Message the game 730 AM on Facebook.
Guess who's back? Back again.
Beanie's back.
Tell a friend. Guess who's back? Guess who's back?
Now, here's your host and professional Hellraiser, Beanie Howell.
Welcome in. It's Offensive Minded with me, Beanie, here on Lansing's only sports station, the game 7:30 a.m. So glad to have you with us on a Monday, kicking off another week. As is tradition here on the program on Mondays, a chance for you to win a prize just by nominating studs and duds of the weekend that was in sports. Here's how it works. You just nominate one good and one bad performance from this past sports weekend and submit them through any of the following ways: by phone line 517-300-4263. You can email your studs and duds. The email address is beanie@wvfnam.com. You can submit your studs and duds through Facebook. Send us a message or post a comment there. Just search Facebook for the game 730 AM to do that. Or use the free game 7:30 a.m. The free game 7:30 a.m. app to nominate your studs and duds. Click chat in the main menu of the app. Sends over a free text message to us. Everyone who does that will be entered into a random drawing we'll conduct at the end of today's show. Someone will walk away with a $25 gift certificate to the Nut House of Downtown Lansing. And a couple other people will win something too. We've got coupons here for a free gallon of cider from any quality dairy location. All right? Cool. So I guess we'll have three winners today. One gets the $25 gift certificate to the Nut House, and two others will get one coupon each. Good for a free gallon of cider from our friends at Quality Dairy, and that is redeemable October 31st through Halloween at any of the QD locations. All right, we'll do that all day. Dr. J is here. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Good as well. You're a fan of cider.
I do love cider, yes.
You know,
especially QD cider. It's the best one.
Is that right? Or are you just shilling?
No, it actually is.
Well, I trust you, but I've just never been a cider person. Hard or otherwise.
It's better than beer. Hard cider is.
Oh, that's a stretch, and a blasphemy. Well, where should we start today? You know, there's no singularly dominant thing. You know, Michigan State was off. That's usually what we're doing right now, is kind of post-morteming Michigan State. Hey, speaking of that, wasn't it nice getting a reprieve from MSU football this weekend?
That was nice.
That was really nice. It was nice to have a fourth consecutive Saturday completely ruined. I don't know. I'm just saying maybe we should try that more often. State's at Rutgers this weekend. Their first noon kick of the season. Great. Can't wait for that. Which means the Whitelaw PLLC tailgate show will be an 8:30 in the morning broadcast. Tim is going to be irie. But at least it's not going to inconvenience him by having to be on campus that early. Anyway, yeah, Whitelaw PLLC tailgate show, 8:30 to 10:30 on Classic Rock 94.9 MMQ and 1240 WJIM Lansing's Big Talker this Saturday morning. All right, we'll talk upstate at Rutgers. I did see, last I checked, Rutgers is a 5.5-point favorite.
Yikes.
Man, how the mighty have fallen. Well, anyway, you know what? There is a sign of hope there, because if you've watched Rutgers play, it's that same quarterback they had last year who is a lot like that Burt Emanuel kid from CMU. He simply cannot complete a pass, but he's a pretty good athlete, but he cannot throw. Just can't. What I'm saying is, if there's going to be another win on the schedule, I don't know if it gets more realistic for Michigan State than this one. And I know it's on the road, and I know they're not very good, and I know they could be breaking in a new quarterback. That's the rumor, at least. But anyway. Yeah, why don't we go to Lions? Because there's more meat on that bone, and it's positive, at least. So here's my takeaway. Dr. J, they are now 4-1. So if my math is right, that means what? 12 more games? Mm-hmm. So how many games do you see them losing the rest of the way? How many more games will the Lions lose this season in the regular season?
Maybe one or two.
Wow, that is bold. That is bold. You realize this is the NFL, though, right?
Yeah, that's why I said one or two. I don't think they're going to lose any.
How do we go from 2 weeks ago, I'm just not ready yet. I'm not ready to commit yet. And now you're like, yeah, well, I am being realistic. That's why I said they could lose up to two games the rest of the way.
You know how we go from that is because I see the proof of what all of the hype had been going leading up to the season. So I said I wasn't ready to commit yet because I hadn't seen it. Now I've seen it. So I'm all in.
Are you like thinking, though, contextually? And what I mean by that is, do you realize how hard it is to win 13 games in a 17-game season in the National Football League? Do you appreciate what a bear that is?
I think this is our year.
That's not what I asked. How many teams do you think won?
Difficult.
How many teams do you think won 13 or more games last year?
I don't know, maybe three.
That's exactly right. Well, I guess you can count the Bills because they did too, but they played one less game. I guess that counts. So four teams. But I would say that's unusual. I don't know. It's usually like one or two that wins 13, anecdotally, but. It's not so much about the Lions to me. I'm obviously bought in because, look, we have another entry in a long line of this recipe for them. They did it again this weekend. They shut down the other team's run. Chuba Hubbard had 35 yards on 9 carries. As a team, they held Carolina below 100. And then the Lions racked up 160 on their own. That is about, we're almost at a full calendar year of them doing this, of them shutting down opponents' run game and running for 100-plus on the other side. That's just a really good formula. And the best part of the formula, aside from the fact that it's like the most tried and true recipe to success in any level of football, it's incredibly sustainable. If you can just do those two things, I don't know that there's anything more fundamental that you can set up, that you can do to set up your team for continued success. I don't think it's any secret that since week 9 last year, that's what's been going on. That's what's driven this stretch where now they've gone, 4-1 this year, and it was 8. So it's 12-3 over their last 15 games. And they did it again this weekend. But anyway, that's a really good sign. But I'm not asking how many games they're going to lose the rest of the way based on that, because it's still the NFL. And I doubt too many teams will win 13-plus games. Look, San Francisco, who ho-hum just destroyed a good team last night, 42-10, and just keeps right on rolling along and is clearly the most complete team in the NFL top to bottom, even with Mr. Irrelevant at quarterback, they're still going to have one or two bad games. You know, they're going to lose to someone they shouldn't once or twice. It's going to happen. It happens every year. But when I look at the Lions' schedule the rest of the way, I don't see a ton of resistance. Do you? I mean, let's go through it. Maybe this coming weekend, because it's on the road at Tampa, and Tampa is has been surprisingly competent, I guess. But they're three and one, and it's on the road. It's a 425 game, and Tampa will be wearing those sissy uniforms from back when, instead of the cool logo they have on their helmets now, they had a very effeminate pirate with a wide brim hat with a feather and a dagger in his mouth. It's very
fun. Okay.
It's a very homoerotic NFL logo. I'll just say it. No wonder they got rid of it. But anyway, yeah. So, okay. After that, they go to Baltimore. I don't want to hear about that game. I just don't. I just don't think Lamar Jackson's that's good. He's that good. I get that he's an elite athlete, but he hasn't been very explosive on the ground this year, clearly trying to protect his investment. But he's certainly not a good passer. I mean, look at the numbers. And they just blew a golden opportunity to win yesterday against the hapless Pittsburgh Steelers offense. But anyway, after that is the Monday night game from Ford Field on Devil's Night versus the Las Vegas Raiders. By the way, Nachos and Kneecaps, our very own Detroit Lions tailgate show presented by Momentum Health Center in Mason, will be broadcasting live ahead of that Monday night game from Buffalo Wild Wings in downtown East Lansing right there on Albert Street. You should come out to that. I think that'll be like 6 to 7:15, something like that, that night. I think we're going to do Offensive Minded there too that day, 2 weeks from today, right, Dr. Chait?
Yes,
or sorry, 3 weeks from today. I'm sorry. After that, here's one. You know, they go to the Chargers. And out of all these teams left on their schedule, the Chargers are the ones, maybe the only one, with a good quarterback in Justin Herbert. After that, the Lions bring the Bears in. Okay, that's an automatic win. Then we get to Thanksgiving where they bring the Packers in. That'll be an automatic win. Then they go to New Orleans. That could be tricky just because New Orleans' defense does not let anyone score 20 or more points. So, I mean, and it's hard to win there in general. Gets loud. Maybe they stumble there. Then after that, December 10th at Chicago, automatic win. Then home versus the Broncos, automatic win. Then at Minnesota on Christmas Eve. Anyone really worried about the Vikings?
Nope.
December 30th, it's a night game at Dallas. Okay. You should lose that one, I guess. Fine. And then you close things out at home against the Vikings. I'm being realistic here. And again, you can't control for everything. All it takes is one injury to completely change the outlook for everyone in the NFL, right? Like if the wrong person gets hurt, the entire power structure is reformatted. But I'm looking at this schedule. 4-1. That means there's 12 games left. I don't know, man. I see one, two, maybe three. Throw in four for an inexplicable loss because not because they're the Lions, because I'm not into that narrative anymore, but because that happens to every NFL team. They're going to lose a game that seems like a no-brainer. They would slam dunk win. So what? Maximum of four losses left means the floor should be 12-5. And that feels right. That feels right to me. Like we should be talking about a bare minimum of a 12-win football team here. And really, more than that. Right?
Yeah.
But I don't think they're going 15-2 or 14-3. But yeah, I think 13 is in play. And 12, I think, should be the expectation. Now, again, things can change. All it takes is, you know, one bad cut on the grass. And speaking of, man, is there anyone with worse luck than Emmanuel Mosley? How does that happen? It's just, you gotta feel awful for the guy.
He's so sad. The other leg
busts his ass to come back from an ACL, has a hamstring injury in the middle of that, which slows him down. Plays two plays for the Lions, And on the second play, he tears his other ACL. Just awful. I guess that's not terribly uncommon, though, Dr. J. I've read from different news stories citing like orthopedic surgeons that when you come back from one catastrophic knee injury, it's not uncommon that you then suffer some kind of injury to the other knee because you're overcompensating, right? Like you're leaning more on the other knee while you rehab the one that had the injury first. That just sucks. That's terrible. How big of an injury do you think that is, though? I mean, that does affect what they wanted to do, especially now they're, you know, they're without C.J. Gardner-Johnson already at safety, and now one of their two main corners is out. Although, you know, they've had other guys playing and playing pretty well so far. I don't know. Does that change things for you? Are you concerned at all?
No.
Okay.
I think they'll be fine without him.
I mean,
they've been fine without him.
Well, they haven't exactly faced a good quarterback outside of Patrick Mahomes, and he was throwing to a bunch of guys with cinder blocks surgically attached to the end of their arms.
That's true.
I don't know that they're going to face much of a test, though. Look, I mean, we just went through the schedule. How many big-time quarterbacks do you see on the rest of that slate? I see Justin Herbert, and that's about it.
I mean, maybe Kirk Cousins, if he's having a good day.
Okay, so the best quarterback we can agree that the Lions will face the rest of the way is Justin Herbert. And then the second yes. best is Kirk Cousins twice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's... That should be a bare minimum of 12 wins. We're talking at 12-5. And really, we should be talking about playoff positioning, right? So the way things look right now, San Francisco and Philly are both undefeated. But man, it just feels like San Francisco's so much further ahead than everyone else. Just does. They're just loaded, except at quarterback. So if they get another injury there, or... I don't know. See, the problem with them is how do you make them one-dimensional? They can make you pay. You know, I just don't know how you do that. But I think the gap between San Francisco and Philly is far larger than the gap from the Eagles to the Lions. Don't you?
Yeah. San Francisco is just so good. They destroyed the Cowboys.
Yeah, and the
The
Cowboys are good. They have a really good defense, and love them or hate them, they have at least a competent quarterback with some guys to throw to. Their offensive line has looked very shaky. But, hey, what I'm getting at is the Lions are right there. They're right there with the Eagles in terms of, like, you know, the heir apparent to the Niners. It's a weird place to be, but embrace it. It's exciting times. And the way they just look, it was a taking care of business situation there yesterday. It's impressive. You know, you beat any NFL team 42-24. That's impressive. I don't care if it's a rookie starting quarterback or not. I don't care if they're seriously outmanned or not. That's hard to do in this league. And they showed up with, you know, let's be real, a lot of their key guys not playing. Amon-Ra St. Brown out, Jahmyr Gibbs out, didn't matter. And they pounded them, just like they've been doing seemingly everyone else for the last almost calendar year now. And look at the numbers. I mean, just a workmanlike approach. Very, very Detroit, very 3-1-3 of them. Just impressive, top to bottom. They racked up, let's see, how many rushing yards here? Just 159. They held Carolina to 99. And, of course, they made life miserable for poor Bryce Young. 25 for 41. He did throw three touchdowns, but he also threw two interceptions. They only sacked him once, which is surprising. It felt like more than that, but I guess, you know, you run around and sometimes that doesn't count as a sack, even though it really was, let's be real. But did you ever really feel threatened in that game? Did you ever worry that the Lions weren't in complete control? Because I didn't. And really, the only deficiency I guess I see for the Lions right now, if there's, it's nitpicking. I don't know how serious this is, but it's the third quarter thing. And Ben Johnson mentioned it last week that it's irritating him, and it's something that goes back to last year. They're just not very good in the third quarter. And I think in all but one game this year, their first possession of the third quarter has been a three and out. And they've only scored once in the third quarter all season. They got blanked yesterday in the third quarter. They scored 14 points in every other quarter, though. I guess I don't know. I don't know if that's really worth being concerned about. Ben Johnson says he is, but he's a coach. And he has to find something, you know, to hammer on in the perfectionist way. I don't know if it's that big of a deal. It hasn't hurt him yet. So we'll see, I guess. But, man, there's not a lot to not be completely thrilled with. I mean, the best wide receiver doesn't play. No problem. That Laporta kid. Can we say it? Like, is it too soon to declare Sam Laporta the next stud tight end in the NFL out of Iowa? Because he sure looks like it. And that trick play yesterday that the 49ers immediately copied like 5 hours later. Did you catch that? That sort of like augmented flea flicker they did to Sam Laporta that went for what, like a 40-yard touchdown or whatever. The 49ers basically did the exact same thing later on that night in their Sunday Night Football game versus Dallas last night to George Kittle. It looked like practically the same play. I think Kyle Shanahan was just watching the Lions and was like, hey, that's cool. Let's try that tonight. But, you know, from one stud Iowa tight end to the other, George Kittle and maybe Sam Laporta is the next one. I don't know, man. I think what fans are going to gravitate toward, and Dr. J, I know you feel the same way, is Jameson Williams, who made his debut and had an awful drop. And it certainly seemed like the reason he had that awful drop was he didn't want to take that hit coming over the middle because the linebacker was getting ready to line him up and probably break him in half. Two catches for 2 yards. That's Jameson Williams' debut yesterday. But here's the thing. They didn't need him. And also, you know what the Lions were going to be most interested in with Jameson Williams and his season debut? Was not going to be his stat line. It was going to be, did he put up a good physical effort in the run blocking game? And he did. You could see it on the one David Montgomery run. He helped spring him. Now, is Jameson Williams ever going to be a great run-blocking receiver like Alan Lazard? No. But he doesn't have to be. It's just about trying and playing within yourself and not taking penalties like holding to bring back a big play. And I thought the returns yesterday were pretty good. He was engaged, he was trying, and he wasn't overdoing it. I think you got to be happy with that. I get it. He shouldn't have dropped that ball over the middle. I understand. And I understand, you know, you traded up to get this guy at number 12. He needs to be doing more than 2 catches for 2 yards. Totally agree. But also, it's his first game. And he's coming back off injury, too, just because of the gambling suspension. Don't forget, you know, he had a hamstring injury in camp. So he's probably a little rusty. I get it. You're upset. He should be doing more, and I agree. But does it really matter when they don't need him yet? The point is, if we're splitting hairs over that, it's a really freaking good sign. And I just don't see a lot of roadblocks on the rest of this schedule for your Detroit Lions. How about you? You can weigh in on that. You can also nominate studs and duds from the weekend in sports for a chance to win either a $25 gift certificate to the Nut House of downtown Lansing, or two other people who don't win the big prize there. We'll give you a coupon from Quality Dairy, good for a free gallon of Quality Dairy's world-renowned cider. That coupon is good through October 31st. Here are all the ways to get your hot takes in, if you want to weigh in on the Lions, or if you want to submit studs and duds. Phone line, 517-300-4263. You can always email the show. The email address here is beanie@wvfnam.com. You can use Facebook, send us a message, or post a comment there. We'll read it on air. Search Facebook for The Game 730 AM to do that. Or use the free Game 730 AM app. Click chat in the main menu. Sends over a free text message to us. We'll read that on air, too. And if you don't already have it, shame on you. But I am willing to give you a mulligan. So go to the Apple App Store or Google Play, depending on what kind of smart device you're using. And just search for The Game 730 AM. Once you're there, see the app, download it. Takes just mere seconds. Open it up, and there you have it, right in the palm of your hand. You can listen live to The Game 730 AM wherever you are on the go. You can get access in the palm of your hand to all of our online content, like something I wrote today about how Michigan State just cannot get statues right. Maybe we'll talk about that a little bit later on. But whether it's Morgan Freeman outside of the Breslin Center or whatever the hell that monstrosity is in Munn that's supposed to be Ron Mason, this place, wow. We gotta start hiring better sculptors, man. This is brutal. Check that out there in the free Game 730 AM app. And of course, you know, the chat feature. Click chat in the main menu. Sends over free text to us. Interact with the show. But also make sure you enable notifications because that's how you get heads up on promotions and breaking news and stuff like that. Special programming, okay? Cool. That's all out there for us today. We do need to get into Michigan State. Looks like there's some news going into the Rutgers game. Maybe some changes at on the depth chart. We'll talk about that. And we do have another defection, someone who has formally entered the transfer portal. We need to talk about that, too, and the overall number of guys who are leaving the program. That's interesting to me. And we've gone, let's see, we've been on the air for like half an hour now. This is a new record since the last couple of weeks, going half an hour without mentioning Urban Meyer. Yes. Yes, that is worthy of applause. Thank you to the WVFN in studio audience. I appreciate that. All right, go to break and we'll be right back to get back into it with you. It's Offensive Minded. I'm Beanie and this is Lansing's only sports station, The Game 730 AM.
Get your Detroit Lions pregame fix all season with nachos and kneecaps. The Lansing area's very own local Detroit Lions tailgate show. Presented by Momentum Health Center in Mason. Join yours truly, Beanie, from Offensive Minded on The Game 7:30 a.m. and Brock Palmbush every week about 2 hours before kickoff. We cover all the Lions angles, player availability, matchups, outrageous Dan Campbell in-game decisions and audio, local ski mask sales, and everything else. Nachos and kneecaps, presented by Momentum Health Center in Mason, is also brought to you by Miller Lite. On Classic Rock 94.9 MMQ, and The Game 7:30
free. It feels like you're frozen, petrified. You're struggling with your mortgage payments. The bills begin to pile up. Not knowing what to do, you do nothing at all. And that's the worst thing you can do. Because if you take action, if you do something about your mortgage problems, you're far more likely to get the most positive outcome. Making Home Affordable is a free government program. Call 888-995-HOPE to talk one-on-one with a housing expert about the options that are right for you. Real help, real answers, right now. Call 888-995-HOPE or visit makinghomeaffordable.gov and do something about your mortgage problems. Brought to you by the U.S. Treasury, HUD, and the Ad
Company. Are you facing foreclosure? Then come down to Megalow and Partners. We're a mortgage rescue company, and we can help you keep your house. The process is simple. The results are guaranteed 100%. That's the Megalow and Partners promise. Provided you submit to our plans for galactic domination. No, I'm kidding. Megalo and Partners, your partner in foreclosure prevention. Stop in anytime.
If you're facing foreclosure, make sure you're talking to the right people. Speak with HUD-approved housing counselors free of charge at 888-995-HOPE. That's 888-995-HOPE. Brought to you by NeighborWorks America and the Ad Council.
Got a hot take?
Pick up the phone and start dialing.
Offensive-minded phone lines are open. 517-300-4263.
All right, we're back. Dr. J, you got to stop bogarting the bumper music here with Taylor Swift. By the way, you surprised she didn't go to Travis Kelce's game yesterday? Chiefs at Vikings. Why wasn't she there? She's just too good for a Midwestern city like Minneapolis? I guess not, because she went to Kansas City. That's Midwest too, technically. It's not even that cold yet. Plus, it's an indoor stadium. What's the excuse? Is there trouble in paradise already? She's getting an early start on that next album, perhaps. Anyway, welcome back, Offensive Minded. Okay, studs and duds, that's on the board for you, as well as you want to just weigh in on the Lions. Look, that was such a workman-style win yesterday. Just took care of business and pounded an inferior team like you're supposed to. And I look at the rest of the schedule, I got to tell you, I don't see too many L's piling up here. I think the absolute bare minimum expectation now must be 12-5. What do you see? 517-300-4263. Out to the phone line for Ray and Holt. What's up, man?
Hey, man, you are. I was just going to say that talking about the Lions, that the time that I got a little worried was when it was 14-7 and they had just scored Carolina. And then I was thinking, okay, don't let them get back in the game. But then the offense did what they needed to, defense did what they needed to, and kept them from getting back in the game. Also with Taylor Swift, Kelce better watch out because, yeah, he'll be the next album or the next song if he breaks up with her. So,
yeah, if this is even real to begin with, it might just be a very carefully orchestrated PR thing. By the way, did you see, I know it was a scary moment where it looked like maybe his ankle or leg buckled, but he stayed in the game and wound up scoring a touchdown. But as soon as that happened, I was like, well, see, wobbly knees. That's what you get.
Yeah, I saw that. And I also saw the play last night that was a copycat of the Lions, I thought, too.
Yeah.
I looked at my wife and said, that's the same thing the Lions did today with that flea flicker that San Francisco did against Dallas there and that. So
yeah,
that was pretty interesting to see them pull off the
Well, I guarantee you Kyle Shanahan saw that just watching games earlier in the day and was like, yeah, let's do that. That looks fun. And we have an Iowa tight end that's pretty good too, so let's try that.
Yeah, and that was an awesome play. I thought he was so wide open. I was worried at first he was going to drop the ball on the throw, but he held on to it and didn't fall over his own feet and made it to the end zone. So that was cool.
Yeah, early returns are good. He's looking pretty good. He's played in five games.
Has real good.
25 catches, almost 300 yards. That's about 12 yards per catch and three touchdowns already through just five games. I mean, he's a focal point of the offense already. So it looks like. Go ahead.
Yeah, my one son has him on his fantasy team, so he's thrilled with that.
Yeah, ought to be. I think Lions fans ought to be thrilled. It looks like just the latest stud tight end out of Iowa, and the Lions got him. And he looks like everything the last one they tried it with, you know, didn't look like in T.J. Hockenson. So, did you have studs and duds for us, Ray?
Yeah, I'd say my stud was the Lions and the way they played, and my dud was Miami coach and not for college there, not falling on the ball. I missed the play when it first happened, but they had the game basically won, and then he tried to hand off, and I heard from somebody that was the second time he's done that this year as a coach, so I thought that was a big-time dud.
I don't know about that. I know it's the second time Mario Cristobal has lost a game because he wouldn't kneel, and his running back coughed up the ball. It happened to him when he was at Oregon against Stanford back in 2018. I know that happened. And what's fascinating about that is he was back then when that happened 5 years ago, someone, a reporter, you know, posted him up about that. And he said that he would not kneel and he would make the same decision again if it happened again back then in 2018. So, I mean, seriously, I know this is going to sound like hyperbole, But shouldn't that get someone fired, being that willfully ignorant and reckless?
Well, that's what I would think. When you're making the money them coaches make, and that, I get totally amazed at some of the things that they do, even clock-wise and everything else. I sit there and watch college and pro coaches at times and think, you know, that would definitely get you fired. And I remember years ago, I believe it was Philadelphia playing the Giants. I don't know if you remember, where there was a game that would have been won by Philadelphia, I think, and they did not kneel and hand it off, and the other team got a fumble and ran for a touchdown. And if I remember correctly, the next day that coach was fired on that team.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, man, like, why do that? It's such a boneheaded and meathead thing. Like, oh, we're too tough to just kneel the ball down. Like, what? Justin Herbert, the stud now for the Chargers, was the Oregon quarterback 5 years ago when this happened against Stanford, when Mario Cristobal was the coach of Oregon. And he said, I have Justin Herbert. There's no way I was going to kneel. And it cost him a game. And now it's happened again, second time in 5 years. I don't know, man. That ought to be a fireable offense to me. Now, Miami was on its way to being 6-0. And then because their coach is such a stupid meathead who apparently has a very weird pride complex, they're 5-1. Just shouldn't happen.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I had heard that he had blamed the running back who fumbled the ball back then. Well, he shouldn't have fumbled the ball.
Yes.
It's throwing your player under the bus, too.
Yeah. All right, man. Thanks for the call, Ray. I appreciate it. Got to leave it there. And look, that's true. Both things can be true. Like, as the running back, you have to know to protect the ball, especially in that situation. But isn't it the job of a coach to put his players in the best position to succeed? That's really what it boils down to. The most fundamental job of a coach is to put his players in the position that, well, frankly, best positions them to win. And when you have a 20-17 lead with literally 30 seconds left and the other team has no timeouts and you're not on fourth down, meaning I think it was 2nd and 10 or whatever, if you take a knee, game over. Let's party, boys. We're 6-0. Nope. Got to be a tough guy. Got to run the ball for meaningless statistics. By the way, imagine like being on the receiving end of that. Imagine that you're Georgia Tech and someone breathes that kind of life into you. Football is a meritocracy. You get what you deserve more often than not. Now, Georgia Tech probably didn't deserve to win the game. But the football gods disagreed once they saw dumbass Mario Cristobal try to be a tough guy again. What an idiot. If that happened here, oh my God. I would have a coronary on air. I mean, that's such a bad decision. Mel Tucker wouldn't do it. Think about that. By the way, I got sound. You're going to love this. This is the Georgia Tech radio call of the game-winning play. So it's 2nd and 10, 10 seconds left, last play of the game. Georgia Tech's down 20-17, and they're at the Miami 44-yard line. Take a listen, courtesy of Georgia Tech Radio.
King, with 10 seconds to go from the 44, snap back to King. Bust out to his right, looking. 5 seconds to go. He will toss it into the end zone at the 5. Larry, into the end zone. Touchdown, Jackets. Touchdown, Jackets. 1 second left. Question, Larry. What did we just witness? Throwing downfield to Question, Larry, who got behind the defense at the 5. And it's 23-20, Jackets. I see it. Don't believe it.
Yeah, because it should never happen. Unbelievable. But then they pan to Mario Cristobal's dumb face on the sideline, and my reaction is,
you're next, ladies.
Or,
oh, yeah.
You hate to see it, but more than that, you love to see it.
What a moron. Big tough guy. I'm a big tough football coach. This is all about being tough and masculine. We don't kneel in the game. Okay, cool. Then you let a team that hasn't completed a forward pass since Calvin Johnson played there 15 years ago, beat you on a 44-yard bomb. Hey, by the way, that's something else. Give Mario Cristobal credit, I guess, on this much. He wasn't in prevent defense. That's why Georgia Tech, again, we're talking about Georgia Tech, who runs basically the same kind of Paleolithic offense all the service academies do. Georgia Tech had a receiver get behind Miami's defense. Now think about that for a second. All right, to put that in perspective, that would be like, I don't know, like, say a good defensive team like Michigan is playing against Navy. And we know how Navy plays, right? Triple option, veer crap. The kind of stuff my high school played before I even got to high school. Imagine a receiver from Navy getting loose behind Michigan's defense for a game-winning touchdown. That is what Mario Cristobal just let happen. That's the equivalent. What an idiot. Got what he deserved. That is chef's kiss right there. Stupid. I guess this time he was a little apologetic in the post game this time. Unlike when he was at Oregon and it happened 5 years ago where he doubled down. So I'd make the same decision all over again. Well, he did, and it burned him, and I guess he was more contrite this time. Here, I got sound of the fumble. This is from ESPN, or the ACC Network, which is part of ESPN. But here's the situation. There are literally 42 seconds left. Georgia Tech has no timeouts left. Miami's up 20-17. Remember, this is at Miami, Hard Rock Stadium. Third and 10, 42 seconds left. That means all Miami has to do is take a knee, and the game is mathematically impossible to lose. But nope, that's not Teddy Roosevelt masculinity from 150 years ago. Here's what running the ball in that situation got the U. Take a listen.
Like, you should not be handing this football off. Right. I don't know what Miami is doing.
That's it. Well, here's Chaney. Just straight ahead, tackled, and the ball popped out.
You got to read the clock. To me.
Georgia Tech has it with 26 seconds left. Three to the field for King. Up in the pocket, going to loop it down the field, and it is caught. And that's Rutherford. Here's King from the pocket. Flush to his right with six, five. Going to loop it downfield. And ball is caught. Touchdown, Georgia Tech. With 1 second to go in the ball game, Christian Leary.
And the very classy Miami fans throwing garbage at the Georgia Tech players in the end zone. Keep it classy down there, guys. Couldn't have happened to a nicer bunch of people. The sad thing is, they show one of the Miami players on the sideline, one of the offensive linemen who just played his heart out in that game and thought they were going to be 5-0 or 6-0 for the first time in virtually forever. And he says, what the bleep are we doing? Yeah. Yeah. Coaching malpractice that ought to result in an automatic dismissal. Do you know Miami hasn't won an ACC game at home under Mario Cristobal yet? They're 0-5 in conference games at Hard Rock Stadium. How has he not been fired already? I mean, Manny Diaz sure got chased out of there. Well, is the difference that Mario Cristobal played there? Is that why? And he got rid of the turnover chain because it's all business? Yeah, it's all business. We do things by the book until we have a lead with not nearly enough time for the opponent to even statistically have a chance at pulling off the unthinkable. What an idiot. It's offensive minded. I'm Beanie. This is the game, 7:30 a.m.
Edinburgh.
It's the Whitelaw PLLC Tailgate Show on the Lansing Sports Network, the Big Talker, 1240 WJIM, and Classic Rock 94.9 MMQ, a tradition in Lansing for over 20 years. With your hosts, the Dean of Sports, Tim Stout, and offensive-minded host, Beanie Howell. Powered by Whitelaw PLLC, Doubting Industries, Chupin & Sons Recycling Industrial Services, Gravity Smokehouse, and Chandler's Top Shelf. This is the Whitelaw PLLC Tailgate Show. Back to the best in sports talk now. We're Lansing's number one source for sports talk. Touchdown! The game, 7:30 a.m. WVFU, East Lansing, a Town Square media station. We're the station you've turned to for sports for over 30 years. The game, 7:30 a.m.
Range 5 up.
From the Breslin Center to Little Caesars Arena, we've got the sports opinions that matter to you. From the Driven Collision Studios, we make friends by accident. On the game, 7:30 a.m.
There's a long history of radio superstars that have come and gone in the Lansing area sports radio, Daddy. Legendary names like Mike Peplowski, David the Mad Dog DeMarco, Brock Palmbush, and Timmy Stout. But only one man has the intelligence, the intestinal fortitude, a girthy medulla oblongata, if you will. That man is Beanie Howell, Daddy. Beanie Howell, you've been to the top of the mountain. You've wined and dined with kings and queens, and you've dined in the second best production studio in the building on protein shakes and poking beans. But let there be no mistake, only one man will rise and step to the microphone to become world champion of Lansing area sports talk radio, and that man is Beanie Howell, Daddy. Put your hands on the radio, ladies and gentlemen, and help me welcome him now to the airwaves.
Hard times. You don't know what hard times are, Daddy. Hard times will send you across the land. Red, white, and green times. We have the time.
Thank you, Dusty Rhodes. It's offensive minded. I'm Beanie. This is the game, 7:30 a.m. Tip of the hat to Steve Jared Goff, Town Square Media. National production director. The guy is only outproduced by his cousin Jared Goff. Anyways, it's a Studs and Duds edition of the program, a chance for you to win a $25 gift certificate courtesy of the Nut House of downtown Lansing just by nominating one good and one bad performance from the weekend that was in sports. That'll be the top prize. Two other people who play Studs and Duds with us today will walk away with a coupon good for one free gallon of cider at any of the Quality Dairy locations. Thanks to Quality Dairy for making that possible. All right. Here are all the ways to get your Studs and Duds into the program. You can call them up, 517-300-4263. You can email them to us, beanie@wvfnam.com. Use Facebook. Send us a message or comment with your Studs and Duds nominations. Just search Facebook for The Game 7:30 a.m. to do that. Or use the free Game 7:30 a.m. app. Click chat in the main menu. Sends over a free text message to us, all right? That's out there for you, too. Speaking of that app, let me go to it now. Joaquin's Beard has messaged in. He says, Stud Aiden Hutchinson for his awesome interception deep in Carolina territory and his overall disruptive presence against Panthers quarterback Bryce Young. Dud Orioles starting pitcher Grayson Rodriguez, who walked four, gave up five runs in one inning as the Orioles laid an egg at home in an 11-8 loss to the Texas Rangers. Rangers now lead 2-0 in the AL divisional round. Yeah. I saw a stat today that the teams that had byes haven't won yet in the DS round. The four bye teams were 0-4. Isn't that wild? Yikes. Baseball, man. Yeah, you can weigh in on that, too. That's fair game. We've also been talking about the Lions with a very business-like, or taking care of business-like win yesterday, 42-24. Palindrome, palindrome score over the Panthers. Didn't ever really feel in doubt, did it? I mean, if you're looking for things to nitpick about, I would say the third quarter thing that Ben Johnson has been complaining about since they haven't played well offensively in the third quarter dating back to last year. They put up another goose egg in the third quarter yesterday, but they scored 14 points in each of the other three periods. So you got to feel pretty good about that. Jameson Williams, just 2 catches for 2 yards, including one brutal drop coming over the middle. Probably just didn't want to take a massive hit. But look, I don't even think that was the primary objective for him yesterday. I think Dan Campbell and crew were probably most concerned and paying most attention to his blocking in the run game, which, you know, I don't think he'll ever be like an Alan Lazard type who can just lay killer blocks. But he tried, and he sprung David Montgomery on one of them. David Montgomery gave him a lot of praise. Here, let me read you the quote. After the game, he said, "J-Mo did a hell of a job with the block on the outside. I was able to get outside of him. He sealed the end. It was me and a defensive back, and I wasn't going down." Tim messages in about that and says, "A Lions win, and the boys bring home another well-deserved W." Yeah, and you look at the schedule. I see a lot of more well-deserved Ws. I see maybe 3 or 4 losses the rest of the way, meaning 12 wins should be the absolute bare minimum. How about you? All that's out there for you today. 517-300-4263. Go to the phone line now. Who's on there? Who is this? Where are you calling from?
Rolling down the field. Sanford Mason.
Oh, I thought you had a whole alternative verse set up for us.
Well, I think I do. Should I finish it out?
Yeah, if you want to, go ahead.
But my mind went blank because another thought crept into my mind. Of course, the Lions are my studs for the weekend, but my duds were the annoyingly owned Jerry Jones Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah.
Who crapped the bed magnificently last night when they knew that was a big game coming up and it was a measuring stick, and they didn't even make it to the bottom of the ruler.
No kidding. Yeah. So what do you say in that locker room? Like, what is there to say? Is that just one of the burn the tape games and we never talking about it again?
I don't know, but I think that they're going to develop a complex with the Niners because I don't think they've beaten them the last 3 or 4 times they played them.
Right. Yeah, and, but that's the case for a lot of teams. I mean, I think they're clearly the most complete team in the league, but I mean, man, you're right. Dallas didn't put up much of a resistance at all. I would say, don't you think it's like the Niners are in a class of their own in the NFC, and then the next rung is like the Eagles and Lions, don't you think?
I think so. The Lions could win 12 games and be the number 3 seed.
Mm-hmm.
I could easily see that. Or they could win 13. Now, I'm pretty sure the next to the last game is at Dallas.
That's correct.
Sandwich between the Vikings.
That's right. I hate that scheduling quirk, by the way. The second straight year they're playing the Vikings twice in 2 weeks. Isn't that weird?
Yeah, it is kind of weird. But I don't think that there's the way things are going. The Lions could win the division, but there won't be another team out of the NFC North that'll have a good enough record to be a wild card team.
Yeah,
I'm seeing right now, and I think it's going to be. And I'm not sure that even the NFC South is sort of weak. Also, that's not a very good division. And the wild card may not come out of that. It could be the wild cards could all come out of the NFC East.
Right.
Or the West. The East and the West would have the wild cards.
Yeah. I mean, despite what happened to them yesterday, you got to believe Dallas will put it together to win, you know, 10 or 11 games and challenge for a playoff spot. And then out West, you know, I've been surprised and frankly impressed with the Rams. You know, they've bounced back a little bit this year. I know they're 2-3. They lost another one yesterday, but they haven't been a disaster like last year. But then there's the Seahawks out there, right? And the Seahawks are 3-1 and just keep taking care of business too. So I'm with you. NFC North is going to get shut out aside from the Lions, who are probably going to run away with it.
Well, I think an interesting playoff game in Detroit would be the Rams at Detroit. With Matt Stafford coming back and playing in a playoff game against the Lions. I think that would be probably be the most attractive matchup that I could think of for the Lions for the first playoff game.
That would be awesome.
Would be that one.
I
would root for that. I would root for Rams and Lions in Detroit.
That would be such a cathartic thing for Lions fans, like on so many levels. You know, haven't hosted a playoff game in 30 years, haven't won one in 30 years, and to do it against, you know, the last franchise quarterback, who I don't think anyone has any hard feelings toward him. It would just make it that much more of a big moment, wouldn't it?
Oh, it would be fantastic. You know, just the Lions winning a playoff game against anybody would be cathartic.
Yes.
But against the Rams, because there would be so many storylines coming out of that game because of the draft pick that the Lions got from the you know, I think Brian Branch was a player the Lions got.
No, they got him because they traded with the Packers.
Wasn't Jameson Williams part of that?
Well, they used some of the picks to trade up, yeah. But how about the other angle of it would be Goff getting revenge on the Rams, who clearly didn't believe in him.
Right.
That's great.
I like Goff now. I mean, Goff he's had a few interceptions. I mean, they made a big deal of it here a few weeks ago that he had a very long streak without an interception. But when he's given up a couple of interceptions, he came right back and went right down the field and scored.
I heard another wild stat about him, like that streak. I heard, like, dating back to last year, I guess it's like something like 12 straight starts where he's had a QBR of like 85 or more. He's the only NFL quarterback to have done that. So, yeah, he's playing at an elite level, an absolutely elite level, and I don't know why we don't treat it as such. So my question would be, and you tell me, Sam, what more does the guy got to do to get locked up long term here?
Sign him up. I mean, the guy that they got as a future is still healing up from an injury last year, that Hooker guy that they drafted from Tennessee, who down the line might be a fine quarterback, but we're talking 2, 3, 4 years from now.
Yeah.
I mean, Jared Goff is in his prime now. He's in his late 20s. He's several years younger than Matt Stafford, the guy that he was traded for.
Yeah,
Stafford is what, about 35 or 36 now?
30. He's a little bit older than me, so he should be 36, I think. But yeah, man, I would love to see that. That would be awesome. Lions and Rams. Okay, man, you're in the drawing. Thanks, Sam.
All right. Thanks, buddy.
Dr. J, would you be able to handle that? Would you be able to handle?
Oh, it would be.
Go ahead.
Would I be able to handle it? It would be amazing. I think that would be like the most interesting matchup possible.
So Stafford,
other than the Seahawks revenge game.
Stafford is still, you know, thought well of in Detroit, and he should be. But if he came in there and ruined it, would that change his legacy with the Lions?
No, I don't think so. I don't know. It would just be a fun game to watch, and it would be fun to talk about.
Can we agree?
There's so many things that you could bring up.
If this team hosts a playoff game, they ain't losing it. At least not the first one they would host this year. Maybe if they get a second one against like Philly, I could see that, or somehow San Francisco is the road team. Okay, fine. But the first one, yeah, no, that's just not happening. It would not happen. And if it's the Rams, I just don't think, I don't think there's any way, because Jared Goff on his own will have so much to exercise in that game, you know, so much to prove. It would be so personal. Yeah, that would be awesome. I don't know if we could handle it collectively, though, like the hype leading up to it. This entire state would be insane. We got to have that.
It might kill us. You're right.
Yeah. Or maybe they get the Seahawks and they get a chance to exercise that demon. You know, that would be nice. I know a lot.
I don't want that. Yeah, I want somebody else to knock the Seahawks out for us, because obviously we can't handle it.
Okay, well, the Seahawks aren't winning their division, which means they would be a road team. So you would have to either, yeah, if you played them, it would for sure be in Detroit. I mean, the Lions are going to win their division. Let's be real. Let me go another call before I get out. 517-342-63. Caller, you're on the air. Who is it?
Hi, JC from Lansing.
JC in Lansing. What you got for us?
Yeah. Hey, I got a good one for you. I'd say Kershaw for my dud.
Oh.
okay?
Yeah.
6 runs, first inning. And he does that a lot in the playoffs, don't he?
Well.
He's the best pitcher usually all year. And then in the playoffs, he does not have a very good record at all.
Yeah, and he's old now. He's lost, yeah. And it's sad, kind of. Yeah.
Hall of Famer, great pitcher. But he just, his Hall of Fame, his playoffs numbers are not good at all. And my stud is the Portland high school football team.
Mm-hmm.
Because last Friday was their first punt of the year.
Wow.
I mean, I don't know if I've ever heard of that, but that's pretty...
dominant.
That's pretty studly.
Yeah. My understanding is, and you tell me, that they had a running clock on every opponent so far coming into Friday. And then did they do it again? I saw they won 35-7, but was it running clock at any point?
The big one's Friday. Okay, Sexton.
Right.
Okay, but let me ask you this. My daughter and I are going to the game because she went to Sexton. And on Tim Stout's show, they say the game's at 6 o'clock. And they're going to come on the air on 7:30, the fan, at 5 o'clock, and the game's at 6. But if you look up on the Sexton, the Portland, and that Michigan MLive.com thing, everything says 5 o'clock.
It is. So, that's correct. It will be a it'll be a 5 o'clock pregame show here on the game, 7:30 a.m. So my show will only go till 5 on Friday. Brock's pregame the game's at 6, yep.
Yeah, but if you look at Portland, and my daughter kept asking me, I'm like, well, I'll find out. Because I looked up Portland's schedule 5, Sexton, and then that Michigan
MLive. Yeah, MHSA.
Yeah, MLive says they also say 5 o'clock. So we were confused.
Yep, it's a 6 o'clock game, I promise.
I know Brock said the pregame was at 5. I know that.
That's correct.
The game was at 6.
All right, man.
Okay.
Thanks.
Thanks.
You're in the drawing. I appreciate it.
You got my phone number, right?
Yeah, we're good. We're good. I got you. Got caller ID and all that.
Cool. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, JC. So let me rehash that. That might be the game of the year. I mean, they're both undefeated, right? What does that make them? Are they 6-0, 7-0? I forget what. Anyway, Portland and Sexton is the game of the week, the high school football game of the week here on the game, 7:30 a.m. And it will have a programming preemption for us. So Offensive Minded is only live 4 to 5 on Friday. And then comes the pregame show for that game at 5. And then Brock and Doc on the call starting at 6 o'clock. All right? Cool. And it's a heavyweight match. Man, that's going to be great. That's going to be great. He mentioned Clayton Kershaw as his dud because Clayton Kershaw went 0.6 innings and gave up 6 earned runs in what might be his last ever outing as a major league pitcher. And it was sad. It was brutal. It was sad to see. I saw people doing all sorts of spoofs of it, like editing in old Bob Costas, like hateful PR. What's the word I'm looking for? You know, like when Bob Costas, like, moralizes on the broadcast. Someone put that in over it. Take a listen. This is great. Now, this is a spoof of Clayton Kershaw leaving the mound after giving up 6 earned runs in 0.6 innings in the first inning against the Phillies the other night, or Diamondbacks the other night. Take a listen.
We can only ask or wonder that he is asking some departed relative for forgiveness for this atrocious performance.
That's fake. That's a spoof, but still, kind of poignant, man. Hey, Dr. J, did you know that Matt Stafford and Clayton Kershaw went to the same high school?
They did.
You really didn't know that?
No.
Oh, that's like one of those super annoying things that comes up in the broadcast every time either one of them plays. Like, it's like the old, now Matt Trannon plays football and basketball for Michigan State. Or, did you know Peyton Thorne and Jaden Reed grew up together? It was one of those. This has always come up. 517-342-63. Dan in Delta Township, what's up, man?
Okay, Brandon, how you doing today?
I'm all right. What you got for us?
I'll give you studs and duds. My studs are going to be the Lions for their convincing victory yesterday. I know the Panthers aren't very good, but the Lions still didn't have a letdown. I thought it might be a trap game for them.
I guess, especially with Amon-Ra not playing and Jahmyr Gibbs as well, but they just took care of business, man, and very impressive. Yep.
And then I'll give you a duds. I did not see any video replays, but I heard it on your show and then previously about the, I don't know if it was the Miami, if it was the offensive coordinator, the head coach that made the decision to not, you know, they say the offensive coordinator, the favorite play that they want to call is the victory formation. I guess apparently they didn't do that, or they don't think that's a great play.
Yeah, just an inexcusable, like a fireable offense, coaching malpractice. Anything else for us, man? Yep.
Not today, Brandon. Take care.
All right, you too, Dan. I appreciate it. Yeah, Mario Cristobal, what an all-time dummy. Just, oh my God. If that happened here, oh, I don't think I'd be able to go on air live, Dr. J, if that happened here. If that happened here, if Michigan State lost a game because whoever was in charge was too stupid and meat-headed and proud or whatever it is to kneel the ball when the other team didn't have timeouts or enough time remaining, couldn't stop the clock, when it was mathematically all but over. If State lost the ball, fumbled because they ran it in that situation instead of kneeling it, and then wound up losing the game because of that, I would not be able to be near a live mic, because the things I would be saying would certainly get very expensive very fast, if you know what I mean.
That's the stupidest thing I've ever seen.
I couldn't believe it. And the thing is, he's done it before, 5 years ago at Oregon. What? Like, how is that guy not fired? And on top of it, he's now 0-5 in league games at home as Miami's coach. I mean, dude. At least he owned up to it this time. The last time when it happened, when he was the coach at Oregon, he said, I would do the same thing over again, which is so stupid. Like, that's the ultimate dumbass thing. Like, dig your heels in when you're obviously wrong. Like, just fall on the sword. Well, I guess he did learn that lesson. Here's sound of him. This is how he started his weekly press conference today, just hours ago. Here's Mario Cristobal doing the right thing and owning up to it.
All right, good afternoon. Appreciate you guys being here. Obviously, tough one on Saturday. A really tough one. Defense played really, really well in a game where we were a little bit out of sorts offensively, but a team battled really hard and gave us an opportunity to win. And as I stated, I made the wrong call, you know, take full ownership and not taking a knee and giving them the opportunity to have a couple of extra plays and preventing us from sealing the win. So our guys showed up, both coaches and players showed up with a tremendous attitude, which is not surprising, to get right back to work and go get better and all focus on improvement and getting ready for our opportunity this weekend. And look.
Okay, that's enough of that. But at least he, you know, owned up to it.
And at least he's not a liar. He said he'd do the same thing again, and then he did.
Yeah, before, but he better not say that again. They ought to fire him. I know it would cost a lot of money to make him go away, but I'll just repeat what I said earlier. That decision is so mind-numbingly, inexcusably stupid that even Mel Tucker would be like, you've got poor judgment, dude. It's offensive-minded. I'm Beanie. This is The Game, 7:30 a.m.
Sure, you could listen to static. Or you could get the free Game 7:30 a.m. mobile app in your app store today and listen longer without the interruptions from the static. Listen live to all your favorite moments in sports and hear all the action. The Game 7:30 a.m. app also has tons of great restaurant deals for you. It's waiting for you right now in the app store today. The Game 7:30 a.m. app is powered by Driven Collision. We make friends by accident. Happy.
Not afraid to be wrong, but he's typically right. Beanie Howell on The Game, 7:30 a.m.
All right, we're back. A chance for you to win a $25 gift certificate to the Nut House of Downtown Lansing just by playing Studs and Duds with us. Everyone who nominates a stud and a dud from the weekend that was in sports, that's one good and one bad performance, will be entered into a random drawing we'll conduct. One of you walks away with that gift certificate, courtesy of the Nut House. Thanks to the Nut House for making that possible. I'll also draw two more winners who who play Studs and Duds. Each of you will get a coupon good for 1 free gallon of cider from Quality Dairy, any of the Quality Dairy locations. So thanks to QD for making that possible as well. We go back to the phone line, 517-300-4263. Joe in Lansing, what's up, man?
Hey, good afternoon. So I'll go with Studs, the Lions, and Duds. I mean, I'm kind of cross between Texas and Baltimore, but I think I'll go with Baltimore because did they have the best record overall?
Good question.
101 or something? I think they did.
Well, let me look it up. But nonetheless, you're right. They had the best record in the American League.
Okay. And the Dodgers, obviously, the National League.
No, the Braves won 104. But what's weird is all of the teams who had byes lost. Isn't that wild?
That's very wild. That's very wild, yeah. And I'll touch on the Lions for you. That was a good win. And I got power rankings for you. Can I read off 10 teams and you can, like, see if you agree with it or not?
Sure.
Okay, I'll start. Okay, first team is 49ers, which is probably true.
Yeah.
Bills, Chiefs, Eagles, Dolphins. 6 for the Cowboys, 7 for the Ravens, 8 for the Lions, 9 for the Seahawks, 10 for the Browns.
What number did you have Detroit at?
8.
I don't know, man. I think they're higher than that. In the NFC, they've got to be 3 at worst in the NFC, right?
Yeah. I mean, there's only how many teams in the NFC are 4-1?
Right.
Detroit and I don't even know who else.
Seattle's 3-1. But the only teams they're looking up at are San Francisco and Philly, who are both undefeated.
Yeah. So, I mean, you brought up drinking the Kool-Aid, so I'm starting to sip a cup every day, every Sunday. And, it didn't help having the same Brown out, but they made the best of it. And that's what you do when you're a good team. If you have injuries, you need the other guys that are taking the positions up to step it up a little bit, you know? So, you know, some teams can, and I'm having trouble figuring out the New England Patriots. Now, Belichick was a good coach, but look at them now though. They're terrible.
Mm-hmm.
I can't figure out what's, is it time for him to hang it up, or is he just not getting the right talent in there, or do they need to start opening up their pocketbook? Or,
well, look, he hasn't done anything since Tom Brady left. So it looks to me like Tom Brady meant more to that winning formula than old Belichick did, huh?
Yeah, we know who the real GOAT was.
Well, the other thing with him, you've got to remember, he's not just the coach, he's the GM too. So it's double on him, you know what I mean? If the personnel's not good enough, okay, but that's still your fault, Bill, you know? And I don't think they're going to fire him mid-season. I don't think they would do that to him.
No.
And I don't know if they'll fire him at all.
I think he'd go on his own terms, probably.
I would if I were him. Like, this is bad. It's embarrassingly bad.
And I actually thought Mac Jones was going to be a good quarterback when he first got in the league, and he's just regressed so bad.
Yeah.
He's really regressed. So, okay, thanks, B.
Okay, man, appreciate it. You're in the drawing. If I had to do Dr. J, well, let me rephrase that. Phrasing. I didn't mean it like that, but what the hell? I'll roll with it. Anyway, Dr. J, you're muted. Oh, hold on. I think I fixed it. Try now.
I said stop it.
Well, I didn't mean to. What I was saying, if I had to do, comma, Dr. J, comma, an NFL power rankings right now. Look, I'm not interested in ranking all 32, but if I had to do the top 5 right now, it would go 49ers at number 1. At number 2, I'd have the Chiefs. At number 3, I'd have the Eagles. At number 4, I would put the Dolphins. And at number 5, I would have the Lions. Now, that doesn't mean that I think the Dolphins are better than the Lions. That's not the point. I'm just basing off what they've done against who they've done it, right? Against whom they've done it so far. I'm going to reward it meritocratically. So that's how I would have the top 5 shaken out right now. Niners, Chiefs, Eagles, Finns, Lions. Any problems with that? Or
no, that sounds reasonable to me. I'm excited that the Lions made the top 5.
Yeah.
That they're playing well enough to make a top 5.
Well, dude, they're at worst the third best team in the NFC. And
yeah.
Look, obviously you probably give the edge to the Eagles just because they're coming off of a Super Bowl trip. They didn't win it, but they're the defending NFC champion. But look, they lost a lot. They lost both coordinators. Eventually that will count for something against them. And I think Jared Goff's a better passer than Jalen Hurts. I don't think that's a controversy either. I think that's hands down obvious. Now, Jalen Hurts is an electric athlete, too, and can do more than just throw the ball. So there's that, and that's hard to account for. And then they're unstoppable on the tush push, which now has an even better name.
The brotherly shove.
That's so good. That is so good. That almost makes me not want to ban the play. But it still has to go away because it's stupid. It's just dumb. It's unstoppable. It's got to go. Only unstoppable, though, when they do it. When Noah Kim tries it, somehow they lose yardage. When you have a 160-pound quarterback, it doesn't really work. But I think the difference is the Eagles have perfected it. If you watch it, I mean, everyone will try it now and again, but I think that since last year, the last update of the stat I heard, they had run it 46 times, and they had converted the first down on 43 of the attempts. I want to know who the three were that stopped it, and did the other team really stop it, or was it just like slippery and Jalen Hurts missed a step or something? Or did Jason Kelly like fart right beforehand and Jalen Hurts was like, ew, gross, and just that hesitation caused him not to get it? Like it had to be an execution issue, right? Because they're so damn good at it. If you watch, the one thing that I think stands out from their approach to it than anyone else is their feet do not stop moving. All those guys keep chugging forward, which... that's kind of a cliche in football, but it's actually true with them. They just keep moving. It's indefensible. Doesn't that have to go away?
Yeah, it probably should. I also find it fascinating. You have this mental block when it comes to Jason Kelce.
What did I say?
You keep saying Jason Kelly.
It's because there's two s sounds in it. That must be it. Jason Kelce.
I just wanted to point it out before anybody else did. Jason Kelce.
All right. Speaking of the Kelces, thank you for that. My linguistics advisor here.
Sorry.
No, it's okay. I wanted to ask you, should we make anything of Taylor Swift not coming to Minnesota for the Chiefs game?
I think maybe it's over. Maybe they had a beautiful 2 weeks together and now it's done.
Well, in order for it to be over, something has to have started. And right. I don't think there was ever a there. The longer it goes on, the more I'm convinced it's just an unholy PR union between the NFL and whomever is Taylor Swift's label or movie studio that's putting her Eras Tour movie out there. I mean, it's just too convenient that she gets all that exposure and then in the middle of the game while she's getting all this free airtime that her commercials are playing too. That doesn't make sense to me. Now, I'm going to go into the rabbit hole here, but stay with me. The reason I say this is I'm not a conspiratorial person. I'm not some big conspiracy theorist. I don't have a tinfoil hat. I don't listen to InfoWars. I don't buy into that kind of stuff. If anything, I'm the opposite. You hear me invoke Occam's razor all the time. The simplest solution is often the correct one. That's my belief. I don't think you have to like get into lizard people to explain certain things, right? Or Illuminati and stuff like that. But... mm-hmm. This one, I'm pretty convinced, and here's why. Why would, I don't know who it is, whatever studio's producing her movie. And in case you didn't know, this big tour she's on has been turned into a movie that's going to be in theaters soon. Why would that movie studio advertise for that film? Again, a Taylor Swift movie. Why would they advertise that during Sunday Night Football? That Sunday Night Football is 18 to 54 year old men. That's the demo. That's why you buy time during that, is for men, especially middle-aged men. Now, listen, the people at movie studios, executives there, and advertising executives are very competent people. They know what they're doing, and they're incredibly frugal with their advertising budgets. Do you think that the people pulling the strings, holding the purse strings for that movie studio would spend some of their precious ad budget marketing the Taylor Swift movie to a bunch of middle-aged men? Because I don't. Unless they're marketing it during that game because they're in a back or a behind closed doors agreement with the NFL to kind of like, what's it called? The little fish that attached to the shark's belly, symbiotic relationship. This is a quid pro quo. The reason they're advertising that movie during Sunday Night Football is because they know a bunch of teenage girls are watching, because the NFL and Taylor Swift's side have come together to create this Kelce Swift unholy union, which is nothing more than a guerrilla marketing campaign. That's what it is.
I don't necessarily think you're wrong, but I'm going to devil's advocate here for a second. Did they have that commercial running for the first game that she attended?
No.
So devil's advocate here. What if they saw all of the publicity that she got there and knew that she was going to go to the second game? So that's why they purchased the commercial space there, because they knew after all that hype, it was going to continue on into the next week so that it would be an effective marketing tactic for them to glob on for the next week.
The problem is ad buys like that at this kind of level are secured months in advance. So I have a hard time believing this was just a spur of the moment thing. Although I guess it's possible. I don't know exactly the inner workings of that. I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but I'll tell you what I am. And people tell me this all the time, and fine, I guess I'll just run with it. I am jaded. I am cynical. Mm-hmm. So it's hard for me to believe, we've talked about it, that the Taylor Swift, Travis Kelce thing is real. Just none of it lines up. None of it makes any sense. And the fact that she's not at the game this weekend also lends credence to, I don't think it's real. Like, what is she doing? Like, she went to she went to Kansas City in New York in the middle of a tropical storm when, like, half the city was underwater, right?
She lives in New York.
I thought she was from Nashville or Tennessee.
She lives in New York.
Okay. Well, still. Even so.
So she went to Kansas City because of the friendship bracelet.
Even so, Minnesota is an indoor stadium, and it's not even cold there yet.
She might have been busy.
With what? The European leg hasn't started yet, is my understanding.
Taylor Swift's preparing for it. I don't know. I just think that it's possible that it could be a real thing.
Okay, it's possible, fine. But what's the likelihood that it's real?
I think it's a higher likelihood than it's some big conspiracy.
She's in break right now between legs of her tour. Again, the next leg is the South American leg, and it doesn't start till November 9th.
I'm sure she has to prepare for it.
Oh, right. The preparing for it has been doing the other leg of the tour. There's nothing to prepare for there.
I don't know. And I also question whether or not those commercials aired on the TV or through the stream, because I think stream commercials you can purchase like closer to the actual event.
Dr. J, those commercials aired in the actual Sunday Night Football inventory.
Okay.
They were not the kind that whatever you're streaming through puts through when they get their 1 minute of every other ad block or whatever it is.
Interesting.
No, okay. These were actual NBC Sunday Night Football, ads, which is extremely expensive. But I'm just saying, like, I don't know. Maybe she'll be at the game this weekend. I don't know. I still don't believe it's real. I just don't buy it. It just doesn't make sense. These two people should not be involved with each other. It just doesn't make
it. Tract.
That's not true either. That's a huge lie. It never happens that way. Can you name one like well-known couple that's opposites that attracted and it was actually real? Because I can't. It's always like people. Like, you know, they're mega famous and they're usually from the same or adjacent industries. Like Tom Brady and Giselle. Giselle is a supermodel. Tom Brady has a face like a supermodel. It's mostly plastic.
Or Simone Biles and her husband.
You didn't even laugh.
What a
jerk. Jonathan Owens. Didn't they meet in college or something? But they're also both like world-class athletes, except, you know, he can't ever get on the field for a lousy defense, so maybe he's not. The Chiefs are back in Kansas City. Oh, wait. Yeah, they're back in Kansas City on, oh, they're the Thursday night game against the Broncos. Okay. Will she be there?
That's a boring game, but okay.
Well, will she be there?
I don't know.
I say no.
Okay. Well, I hope that she is.
When does the movie
And also,
come out?
I have Jared Goff and his supermodel girlfriend, now fiance.
Okay. Well, he lived in L.A. He lived in L.A. He was with the Rams. Again, Tom Brady married a supermodel. That's not that uncommon, is it?
I don't know.
When does that movie come out? That's what I need to know. Release date for that. Oh, what do you know? It's coming out this weekend. Hmm. And now all of a sudden she's not showing up anymore. Weird.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
It's Offensive Minded. I'm Beanie. This is The Game, 7:30 a.m. More conspiracy theories on the other side.
Denver. The Michigan State Spartan football team is back for another season on the Lansing Sports Network. The Big Talker 1240 WJIM and Classic Rock 94.9 MMQ. Never miss another touchdown or tackle again. Stream the game in the free Lansing Sports Network app. Powered by Whitelaw PLLC, MSU Healthcare, Schupan and Sons, Gravity Smokehouse, Doubting Industries, and Chandler's Top Shelf. Warning, listening to The Game 7:30 a.m. may cause excessive cheering.
Yeah!
We're The Game, 7:30 a.m. Rumpy
Amadeus!
All right, we're back wrapping it up with you. A few more minutes left to get your studs and duds entries in before we draw. I do have some digital ones here. Here's in the free Game 7:30 AM app. The mayor of Holt himself, John Freeberg, says, Lions should get to at least 12 wins. I agree with you, Beanie. Well, thank you. Yes, I think that's the floor now. I mean, look at that schedule. You look at that schedule and you tell me there's anything more than four possible losses. I just don't see it. In fact, I think it's more likely they win 13. They go 13-4. Again, though, you know, that's not predicting for injuries, which all it takes is one of those to completely upend everything, of course. Let me go to the email now, beanie@wvfnam.com. The horse racing handicapper, formerly known as Daily Double, now known as Steve from email, says, Dud has to be the play calling by the Miami Hurricanes football coach. That cost them the win. Studded the Detroit Lions. They are playing like an elite team. They actually should be 5-0 if not for some dumb play calling. I'm still guarded on going all in on the Lions. Playoffs, of course, but winning it all, I don't think so. All right, you're on the board. I appreciate it, Steve. Yeah, I look, I'm not saying they're going to win the Super Bowl. I don't think so either. But I think bare minimum expectation is to win one playoff game. And I'm looking around this NFC. Crazy stuff happens, man. You know, like one weird development and an entire pathway opens up. You know, it's weird. Doesn't take much. Tomorrow, we'll talk more MSU because Harlan Barnett had some interesting things to say. Speaking of interesting, an interesting development to me is only one more guy entered the transfer portal during the bye week. Jordan Simmons, who's only playing due to injury, backup running back. Sounds like there are rumors abound, by the way, that they're going to start Caden Hauser at quarterback at Rutgers. Yeah. I mean, I think they wanted to do that the last game, but they just couldn't because it was on the road at Iowa. Not a nice place to break a kid in. But on the road at Rutgers, a little bit different story. Got to try something different. Might as well, right? At least Caden Hauser looks like a college quarterback in stature. That alone ought to be worth something. We'll talk about that tomorrow, too. But without further ado, let me draw. So we'll do three total here. Two people will each win a gift certificate good for 1 gallon of cider at Quality Dairy, any Quality Dairy location. Why don't I take care of those two first? So first up, let's see, we've got... Drum roll, please. JC in Lansing. Okay, very good. And the second one, I guess I need another drum roll. C Sam and Mason. All right. And then our grand prize for Studs and Duds, $25 gift certificate to the Nut House of Downtown Lansing. Who wins that? Tim from email. All right. Congrats to everybody there. We'll give away more of these free gallons of cider from QD, these coupons here, the rest of the week. Stay tuned. You have an opportunity the rest of the way this week, okay? Those coupons are good through October 31st. Thanks to Quality Dairy. Thanks to the Nut House for making those giveaways possible. So until tomorrow, 4 to 6, I'm Beanie for everyone here at Offensive Minded. At the game, 7:30 a.m. Be safe and be good.
Hi, I'm MSP.